Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Speaker Mike Johnson is heading to Mar-a-Lago. Number two, Frank Lucas joins the financial services gavel race. And number three, new polling for Dems on immigration. All right, Jake, let's get into it. The focus this week is on Speaker Mike Johnson and how he is handling his leadership and challenges therein. Interesting news here that Johnson is heading to Mar-a-Lago Friday for a joint news conference with former President Donald Trump that's being billed on the topic of election integrity.
Yeah, you know, Anna, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just so excited for this to talk about this top this morning. But so here's a couple things to consider. This buddy act, which we'll see on Friday tomorrow, April 12th, at Mar-a-Lago, is kind of sidesteps the fact that. Donald Trump has weighed in, has gotten in the middle of a bunch, almost every issue that Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell have tried to accomplish. Yesterday, he tweeted Republicans should kill FISA as Johnson was trying to pass FISA, a renewal of FISA. He seemed to basically misremember, let's say, the part of FISA that he was trying to renew. Trump is against any additional aid to Ukraine. Johnson's trying to get Ukraine across the finish line. McConnell has made Ukraine his top legislative priority. Trump has helped undermine months of negotiations over border security, something that Johnson backed him up on, and McConnell was probably quite disappointed in during that period of time. Trump has called for getting rid of Obamacare, something that the leadership of the House and Senate have no interest in doing. Trump has threatened to pull out of NATO and seemed to invite a Russian incursion into NATO territory. McConnell criticized those remarks as extremely unhelpful. Anna, you and I covered Donald Trump's presidency from the vantage point of Capitol Hill. Does any of this sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Trump's going to be Trump, right? I think that is what this showcases. It's not as if there's a through line of a larger legislative theory that Trump is operating under, right? I think he says what he says when he wants to, when he thinks it benefits him. And right now, Donald Trump is trying to win a second term in office. And that often is playing to his base. It's playing to the politics of it. It's not playing to legislating and, you know, kind of finding pathways forward with even the numbers that he has. I mean, that's just the reality. Trump will say or do what he wants at any time, and he's going to do it the way he sees fit. He's not worried about whether this helps or hurts Speaker Mike Johnson. He's not worried about, you know, necessarily legislating and what's happening over in Ukraine. But, you know, if you look at a lot of his time in office, this happened time and time again, right? It's not as if what I think a lot of people thought in his first term, he said a lot of things on the campaign trail, he's going to come to Washington and act differently. That didn't happen. And I no one should expect that to happen in a second term.
No, and I think the other thing is, Anna, I get the benefit here for Johnson to go to Mar-a-Lago. He could be pushed out of the speakership perceived closeness with Trump over election integrity, which, again, I don't doubt that Johnson has an opinion on election integrity. I'm not sure it's been something that that he's been terribly focused on during his time as speaker. But all that said, I mean, I get why Johnson wants to be close to Trump. I don't understand. I do see some downsides here for Johnson. He could be pushed into saying stupid things that House Republicans find stupid, meaning the House Republicans are very, very interested in early voting, because that's the way a lot of people think you could win elections. Trump has effectively said that he thinks early voting is not great and people should vote the day of election day. that's not something that he'll find a lot of agreement on among House Republicans and House Republican campaign officials. So an interesting vibe in for Mar-a-Lago tomorrow. It's just an interesting moment for Johnson, Anna. I mean, it's worth dwelling on this for a second. It's an interesting moment for Johnson because Marjorie Taylor Greene, a close ally of Trump, has this motion to vacate hanging over Johnson's head. It's an interesting moment to see where Trump lands and all of those things.
Yeah, but the bigger thing, right? He's going to go to Mar-a-Lago tomorrow and, you know, bear hug the president or the former president, but the issues remain the same. FISA is going to be put on the floor next week, right? Probably a clean FISA bill, that is not going to have any of the, you know, kind of changes that a lot of Republicans have pushed for. He's still going to, you know, he's still going to have to grapple with the fact that, is he going to be the roadblock to Ukraine funding or not? I mean, that doesn't change the reality of the hand that Speaker Mike Johnson has been dealt and how he actually is going to have to deal with it. It's not necessarily going to be matter whether or not, you know, Trump is supportive of him in this moment. And I think the bigger thing is, just because he goes down to Mar-a-Lago Friday, we've seen Trump, you know, kind of change his position or, you know, feelings on a member of Congress or another politician with the snap of a fingers.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I completely agree with you on that. And you make a good point. There's a lot of downside here, a lot of potential downside. Just because Johnson goes down there doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't pass Ukraine aid. It probably doesn't mean he doesn't pass FISA. He has said that FISA cannot go dark. So I see tons of landmines, of tripwires for Mike Johnson and the Republican leadership in this episode.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning from the vault. We have some news here that Representative Frank Lucas, the Republican from Oklahoma, is now running to be the next top Republican on the House Financial Services Committee. Lucas told us earlier this year he was considering a run to succeed Representative Patrick McHenry, who is retiring. Lucas, the most senior member of the House Banking Panel, now is making it official.
Yeah, Frank Lucas, who does have a lot of seniority on this panel and has a lot of previous committee experience. He's the chair of Science, Space, and Technology now. He's been the chair of the Agriculture Committee. He is an institutionalist, so to speak, in the House Republican Conference. He is probably one of the more experienced House Republicans, and we don't know how this thing is going to shake out. How this race for financial services is going to shake out. It's very competitive. Bill Huizenga of Michigan, Andy Barr of Kentucky, French Hill of Arkansas, and now Lucas. I mean, Lucas is probably the dark horse. The farthest off from being the leader is the fair way to say it. I don't know that he is, you know, I'm not sure that this is a, let's put it this way. We'll have to see how the steering committee looks in at the end of the year, who the leader of the House Republican Conference is. That is a big question and will have huge impact, massive impact on everything that every committee chair, every top committee Republican. So a great scoop by Brendan Peterson in the vault, and he'll have more to say on this in the coming days.
Let's move on to the number three story of the morning, 2024 watch. We've got some news. Internal polling presented Wednesday to House Democrats showed that immigration is ratcheting up in importance in the minds of voters. Now the party is trying to figure out how to best message on an issue that Democrats have traditionally adopted a defensive posture on. A national DCCC commission poll of more than 1,000 likely voters in 63 competitive House battleground districts found that immigration and abortion were the top two deal-breaker issues for respondents. In the poll conducted March 5th through the 10th, 36% of voters said they couldn't support a candidate who disagreed with them on abortion, while 33% said the same of immigration.
Yeah, this is a great scoop by a trio of Max Cohn, Heather Cagle, and Mika Soliner on the Democrats' private polling. Now, a few things to note here. It's no surprise, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, on the issue of abortion. This is going to be a major, it looks like it will be a major driving issue in the 2024 election. And it's important to say, like, Republicans are, they've kind of been all over the map on abortion. And the message from the NRCC is just talk about your position, don't hide from it. But the fact remains, Anna, that there are just a lot of voters who do not agree with the general Republican position on abortion. Now, immigration, they think they have an opening. The opening on immigration, they say, is that Republicans have killed the bipartisan immigration bill. This is not a great look in their estimation for Republicans. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think what is interesting here is when we've talked a lot about abortion politics, and I think it's a theme we'll hear throughout this election, but the fact that Democrats are trying to find a pathway forward on how to talk about immigration. I think this goes into Republicans for the past two cycles have hit Democrats unsuccessfully, mostly around safety and policing. This kind of has gotten into a bigger issue. And now you see Democrats trying to figure out how best to talk about it, how best to find, you know, kind of their approach. And in some ways, because House Republicans decided to kill the broader immigration package, Democrats are finding an opening, right? In terms of actually being able to talk about it, to blame Republicans, to say, listen, like, we tried to have a serious, you know, conversation. We met Republicans at the table. There was a deal in the Senate, but, you know, Republicans in the House just couldn't, you know, kind of do anything but tank it. It will be interesting to see if that works. It worked in the Tom Suozzi race, the Democrat from New York, in that February special election on Long Island. Of course, special elections are different than general races. That goes without saying. But it is interesting to see if more Democrats take his kind of talking points and if they continue to be effective.
Yeah, and, you know, on the immigration issue, I, you know, Republicans have done a decent job branding, for better or worse, and if true or false, they've done a decent job branding this immigration thing as being worse than the status quo. I don't think a lot of immigration experts believe that. Maybe it's not as good as it could have been, but I think a lot of people find it far-fetched to think it's worse than the status quo. So, and listen, Anna, I would say this in closing: if Democrats have any message this year that would be salient, I would say it might just be the fact that Republicans have been a mess in the House of Representatives. You know what I mean? Like, they've just not been able to do anything. You saw yesterday when House Republicans defeated a rule to get FISA up. Now, that's probably not a great campaign message, but I mean, this is the gang that can't shoot straight this year. And I think that is a message that, I don't know, I'm not a campaign consultant, but that seems to be a message that would be quite interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the message that Washington is broken and look at these, you know, the people who are in charge, you know, took how long to figure out who their leader is and potentially now might be back to the drawing boards, right? I mean, 169 days later, that is going to be something that I think Republicans are going to have to find a message and a pathway forward on, but certainly for Democrats, going to be something that you're going to hear them, I'm sure, hammer on. I think whether or not they can find the way, you know, and the thread to talk about immigration in a way that speaks to voters is going to be the big question that we'll be watching very closely in the coming days and weeks. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends. You can vote for us. We're up for a Webby Award. We'd love it if you did so. The link to do that is in the show notes here. Otherwise, you can also go deeper on all of these issues and more by going to punchbowl.news and signing up for our free morning newsletter. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.